When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, it's still the Monday after Thanksgiving, but not for you, obviously. Just for me. Not, yeah, you get it. And so this that we're about to play is the a mix minus that you've probably never heard before. And because we recorded it on an off night knowing that we were going to be gone for several weeks, so this was really, I think, only a couple of people on the stream heard it. But regardless to say, that's not even correct. Anyway, I say anyway too much, don't I? I really do. I should probably get a handle on that. This is that mix minus. It was early November, so I don't know if we say anything. I mean, we were aware of the fact that we were delaying this. Anyway, by the time that you're listening to this recording, I will be in Arkansas. With Adam, he's probably trying to cook me some crappy dinner with turkey, like, you know what I'm saying, like ground turkey instead of actual beef. And, or it'll be, oh, let's go to Whataburger, because I really love Whataburger. Also, I said on the last show, if you were paying attention, I said that, I don't know why that came out so hostile, but if you were paying attention, I said that there was a overwhelming there was a unanimous vote on the poll for which one to play first. And then as soon as I said that, someone else answered the poll. So, it was still just one vote for this and two votes for, so I think I'm good. Oh, podcasting is hard. Anyway, here we go. Here's the mix minus. The long forgotten, well, not long, it's not forgotten. It's just a mix minus. Enjoy. Thursday night. That just doesn't really trip off the tongue, does it? 7:54 p.m. in the East, streaming live on Pride48.com. It's time for The Mix. My name is Daniel Brewer. I do not do this show alone. I do it with my good buddy, Adam Burns. Adam, how are you this evening?
It's not, Gary. I wish it were. Heat wave the next few days, says Auntie Scott.
I'm doing excellent. Thank you for asking. I have no fucking clue what you're talking about, but it's all kind of discombobulated anyway, because this is not our normal recording night. This is not Friday night. This is not Friday night, the big show on Pride48.com. No, we're doing this on a Thursday.
Yeah, as we heard on the intro.
Yes, which sounds bad.
Didn't. Yeah. It didn't quite, maybe we need the writing staff to come up with a different intro that's used when we record on nights that are not Friday night.
Are you going to berate the writing staff much like you do our producer?
Do you want to talk about that right now?
Let's talk about it right now. I do. Okay. Here's the thing. Wait, let me just paint the picture for the folks. You see,
I feel like you're going to paint a much different picture than me.
Only the facts. We have an executive producer who provides us with show content every show. And when you contacted me earlier this week and said, oh, I forgot that I am doing something on Friday, and so I can't record on Friday, and looking at our schedule, the next live show is basically going to be December 10th because of holidays and travel. So you said, hey, instead of leaving, you know, that long of a period, why don't we just do a show on Thursday night? And I was like, okay, great. So I immediately informed our executive producer. That was like, you know, hey, I should let the executive producer know so that he doesn't go do a whole bunch of extra work, that we're going to be doing a show on Thursday night. And that, you know, happy holidays. We'll see you in December was basically the gist. Now, okay. have I said anything that is untrue?
To my knowledge, you haven't, but I was unaware of that email that you sent to him because you didn't put me on it.
And then you texted this morning and did some other communications this morning over in the Discord server and on Twitter. Uh-huh. And instead of asking me if I had already contacted the executive producer, you also reached out to him and basically said like, hey, yeah, we're moving to Thursday night. Can you have your stuff done for us tonight?
No, I didn't. Let me read it. Let me read it. I have it here. So your picture is completely bullshit.
You're going to throw out the entire picture.
I would like to rectify this by saying I had no idea that you emailed him. Now, I should have assumed that, but I didn't know. You didn't put me on the email to let me know that I had done it. And we're kind of seat of the pants sort of people. And so I didn't know. And this morning I got up and I thought, oh, shit, we don't know what time we're recording. Let me text Daniel. And then I thought, oh, shit, Cyclone is going to be working on research, but he doesn't usually send it until late in the evening on Thursday and we won't get it in time. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to be proactive and I'm going to send him an email. And so the email says, hey, Cyclone, I just wanted to let you know we have to record tonight instead of tomorrow. Because I'll be out of town. I know you usually don't send your research until the night before, so you don't have to worry about it this week. I think we will go live, so if you want to be in the chat room to listen, we will record at 7:30. I said, don't do it, is what I said.
You can't prove that.
Then he did it anyway.
Well, he did it. Not my fault.
Yeah. He did it. And he responded, and he was very nice and said, and then, you know, here I did it, blah, blah, blah. And then I responded, here I did it, blah, blah, blah.
He was also pointing out the fact that as our executive producer, he has already considered the fact that by us doing a show on Thursday is going to mean that we're going to repeat November 11th as a date that things happened on because next year, November 11th will be a Friday, will be a Saturday.
Well, I mean, I didn't think what he said was pertinent to our discussion. He was nice, is what I'm saying.
Our executive producer always thinking about the show.
So then I responded and said, thanks for pulling it together and enjoy your dinner. Because he said he was going to be at dinner. And so I think I was very nice. Both of my emails I felt were very nice. I was trying to be proactive. Then out of the blue, a sniper appears and emails us and says, you see the drastic difference of how we treat our team members. Mm-hmm. I sent you an email on Tuesday letting you know you could take the month off.
Yes.
And Adam follows it up with a last minute demand to make his PowerPoint deck before end of day.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't. And I think that was a bullshit email because I sent him an email saying don't do it because I thought we had forgotten. And then you'd passive aggressively turn it around and try to make me look like an asshole. And I just want to say,
yes,
you said in a show the other day, you asked me if you're an asshole.
Yes.
Daniel, that was an asshole thing to do.
Okay.
That email was an asshole thing to do. I just want to point it out. I will correct you when you're asshole-y from now on so that maybe you can better yourself.
First of all, it was a joke and you know it was a joke.
You didn't put any emoticons. You didn't put a laugh out loud. You didn't put anything.
Emoticons. I was talking about a PowerPoint deck, which is what you complain about at the Spit Valve Factory all the time. Mm-hmm. Of course it was a joke. It was a joke and you know it was a joke. And
if things are misinterpreted,
I don't feel
sometimes
that
people
asshole.
Might not invite you camping. I'm just saying.
Here's what happened. I didn't actually read what you wrote.
Apparently you didn't.
All I read was his response. Cyclone's response was, well, although today is a holiday and many of the research staff are out for Veterans Day, I managed to gather some information for tonight's podcast. So I thought, based contextually on
incorrect.
That.
I said, don't do it.
They're also emojis, not emoticons. Unless we're printing them out on emoticon. I think those were on dot matrix printers. The emoticons are the ones that you make with the colon and the dash.
You need to learn how to do things, Daniel. When you're communicating via text, you need to let people know. You need to do it like a LOL.
I just assumed that after, 12 years of working together that you would recognize a joke.
Well, I wasn't sure. And I'm just saying.
Because let's think about it for a second, Adam. If I really was trying to be, you know, to what chastise you for bothering him or whatever. I wouldn't include him on the email. I would have talked to you privately, because that including him on it makes it a joke.
Why don't you have a seat over here, Adam? We just need to have a little conversation.
Who am I? That guy from Dateline? Who's that? Yeah. Who's the guy that Chris Hansen? Chris, yeah. What kind of fucking power did Chris Hansen have that he could make anyone sit down? It's just like, hey, by the way, the police are right outside that door, and as soon as you leave, you're going to get arrested. Why don't you have a seat? Go ahead. No, have a seat. And they all did. They all sat down.
I mean, what are you going to say? No, I'd like to be arrested now. Of course you're going to sit down.
Why? If the end result is I'm going to walk out that door and get arrested, then I really don't need more exposure. And if I did just walk out, you probably wouldn't put me on TV. So that's a that's a plus on my side.
Really? Getting on TV is going to be a plus?
No, you're getting arrested? Avoiding being on TV means they probably wouldn't show that segment. Why would they show that?
I would have punched him in the face.
Well, then you definitely would have.
I mean,
been
not
on
really,
TV.
But I think somebody should have, though.
This is all just hypothetical. Neither of us.
I mean, not really. I've never punched anyone in the face.
I wasn't worried about the punching in the face. I was more talking about the pedophilia. But
I've never done that either. So
and a chance run in with what's his name? I've already forgotten his name.
Chris Hansen.
Chris Hansen.
I don't think he's doing anything now.
He's probably just waiting for someone to walk in that door.
Maybe. All of these topics are mine.
I know, because it's a Thursday and I haven't. All right.
You do all your stuff on Thursday?
No, here's the problem, though. Most of the stuff that I have this week is Disney. And you're not a Disney guy.
I love Disney. I just like to make fun of you crying. I like Disney.
What do you plan on doing tomorrow for Disney Plus Day?
I didn't know it was Disney Plus Day. Tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, I love Disney. Disney's great. Didn't know that tomorrow was Disney Plus
Day. I didn't say I'm a Disney fanatic. I do love Disney. I mean,
tomorrow,
I love going to Disney.
Starting tomorrow, I can watch Shin Lim and the Five Cock Rings or whatever that was. I can watch that movie.
Yes, exactly. That's what it was.
I'm going to love it. It's going to be great. I can't watch The Eternals because I will not go to a theater, like, unlike you. I refuse to put myself there.
I just want to say I really enjoyed it. And it's interesting because on Rotten Tomatoes, the critics panned it. But the actual normal people gave it a decent score.
Yeah. You can't listen to critics, Adam. Here, I'll give you an example. Disney stock fell the other day because they missed their earnings. And all of these people that are downgrading them and whatever, all these stock people that are downgrading them are all using the most faulty logic in the world because they're treating Disney like it's a single product company, right? They're saying, oh, well, Disney Plus didn't meet its subscriber count. And so, yeah, we're downgrading Disney to, you know, 125 or something like that. And I'm like, you do realize that Disney Plus is like 10% of their earning portfolio, right? It's like 30% of them are theme parks, 30% are their movie studios, and another 30% is the sports broadcasting arm, ESPN. And so it's like, Disney Plus is like a little tiny little bubble. It could get bigger, but it's a little tiny little bubble over there. Anyway, what I'm trying to say, although I am not handing out financial advice, but if I were to hand out financial advice, I would definitely convince or advise someone to buy Disney stock right now.
I think it's unfair that these market people, whoever they are, they make you tell them what you think you're going to make in advance. Mm-hmm. And then if you miss it, you're punished and your stock goes down.
That's right. Yeah, Disney is at 162. It closed today at 162. Just to give you an idea, it was just at 176 like 3 days ago. And it honestly, their theme parks are making shit tons of money this last quarter. The cruise lines just got started back up. So the cruise lines are going to go back to making shit tons of money next quarter. So it's like, yeah, Disney's a great buy. And as far as I'm concerned, Disney, an amazing buy right now. At 162.
I just so everyone knows, Eternals 47% from critics, 80% from audience. So there's a big disparity there. Anyway, I enjoyed it. I know we can't talk about it because you haven't watched it.
I haven't.
But I enjoyed it.
I also wanted to make it clear that I'm not going to the theater because I hate theaters. I don't want Baron Frosty out there going like, oh, and someone else is worried about getting COVID. And it's like, no, Baron Frosty, I'm vaccinated. I'm not worried about getting COVID. I have no worries about myself getting it. Why do I have a lot of mouth noises coming out of my mouth? It's like, I almost I felt like a very kind of a weird gargling kind of a noise going on there. I don't know. But I don't want Baron Frosty to think that I'm scared to go to a movie theater for the same bullshit reason that he is. That's what
Heaven
I'm trying to
forbid
say.
Baron Frosty? Baron Frosty think anything.
Darren Frosty?
Darren Frosty. Yeah.
Darren Frosty would be like his child, like his, you know, little boy child that I'm sure wears a suit and a bow tie and is like nine years old.
His twin.
Probably carries a briefcase around with him and wears knee-high socks and a little suit with shorts.
It's his twin. Baron Frosty works in a bakery. His twin works in a fishmongery. Or whatever you call them.
Fishmongery. That's quite the backstory you got there, Adam.
So this is unrelated to anything at all. But I will look and see if I've already seen Shen Lim. Mm-hmm. No, it's not Shen Lim. That's the magician.
Yes, that's the magician. I don't know the name of the movie.
Whatever his name is. Anyway, I've already seen that, but I'll look and see if there's anything else. Unrelated. I was listening. I listened to Jungle Cruise. 26 episodes of Big Fatty Online.
Oh, can I say something about that before you talk about it?
You can.
Big Fatty called your award-winning podcast, The Geeky Gay, the other day, and said something along the lines of, well, Lavi, I know that you unsubscribed from the little show, and blah, blah. I don't think he was talking about BFO. I think he was talking about the Little Fatty Cast, which you had just days prior.
I've never subscribed to.
Just days prior, you said on your show, I'll go ahead and admit it, I don't listen to the Little Fatty Cast. So maybe. I think that's what he's talking about. I've not heard one episode of that.
Unless it was the live weekend or whatever. But so anyway, he mentioned on his show, I listened to 26 episodes in a row.
Are you Catholic? Was that like a penance for doing something?
No,
I need you to give me 26 BFOs.
No, I sometimes I get busy and I don't have time to listen to podcasts, and I just had gotten really behind. And so I had some time where I could actually listen to podcasts, and I listened. Mm-hmm. Anyway, mm-hmm. I feel solidarity because we both do a solo show and, right. I like to support.
Three Hail Marys. 26 BFFs.
He mentioned something, and I'm not calling him dumb because a lot of people don't know this, and I just wanted to mention it. It's too late for Big Fatty, but a lot of people probably don't know this, so I just want to tell people.
They don't know that he's not dumb?
No, they don't know what I'm about to tell them.
Oh, okay, got it.
So he mentioned he was so proud of himself because on Gmail, he decided he had some old AOL email account.
Yes.
Okay. And he had been forwarding it to his Gmail, but it stopped working and he couldn't figure it out. But he apparently had a lot of his bills mm-hmm. going to that AOL account.
Yes.
And so he wanted to switch those to going over to his Gmail, to a Gmail account, so he could get rid of the AOL account.
Right. As you do.
Now, maybe I'm wrong, but what I heard on his podcast.
Yes.
Was that he created a brand new Gmail account mm-hmm. to send those bills to.
Yes.
So what I want to tell people is, and then he went through all the process of changing the emails, but what you can do on Gmail is mm-hmm. you can take your email address. So let's say your email address was danieljbrewer@gmail.com.
It absolutely is. That is my Gmail account.
So let's just say that's what it was. So what you can do, and there may be other little tricks, but this is the one that I know of. So if you have newsletters, things that you want to miss your inbox.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But you want them. You want to collect them somewhere.
Right.
You can go to, AT&T or wherever you're going to get this email from, and you just put in there, here's my email address, AT&T, DanielJBrewer+... AT&T or whatever, bills, whatever you want to put, just some word.
Right.
@gmail.com.
Right.
So the plus symbol and then something.
Yep.
Then in Gmail, you can set up a filter.
Mm-hmm.
to filter anything with plus AT&T and put it in a particular folder or a label.
Yep.
And you can keep them out of your inbox. And so, and you can do as many of those as you want. You could do plus spam, plus you're a jerk.
Can I stop you right there? Yeah, you can. The problem with that, for the reason that he needed to use the email address, because I have tried that before. I've tried signing up for things with that plus. A lot of the online forms won't allow a plus in the email address. They'll be like, nope, that's not a legal character. Sorry. Because you can't have a valid email address with a plus in it. So it's one of those, that's why Google uses it, right? Is because it's easy. It wouldn't accidentally be used for any other reason, because you can't, in the normal day-to-day life, you're not allowed to have an email address with a plus in it. I don't believe that there's a couple other things you can't have. You can't have a period. You can't have a comma.
That's not true, because I have a period in my email address.
No, actually, periods are ignored. But that's the same prop. In other words, just a regular, if you were to go to...
Well, I've never had a problem.
Who is it that runs the email? ICANN? Yeah, if you were to look at the ICANN rules for email, of what email that works on everything, not just Gmail, but works across the entire internet, there are certain characters that you cannot use.
And well, anyway,
I believe one of them is a plus. Anyway, the point is that I agree more with Big Fatty. I in fact did that. Just recently, I've set up another email address because my Daniel J. Brewer Gmail account has gotten messed up in the billing side of it. So I can't buy anything on it. Like, I can't buy anything on the Play Store. I can't buy, if I wanted a movie or whatever, the only things that I can buy on that account are like my YouTube Premium account, because it uses a different checkout system. I don't know. All I'm trying to say is I got to the point that I needed to expand my drive capacity, and I couldn't buy it because my account was messed up. So I created a new account and said, you know what? I'm just going to start migrating things over to the new account, and it'll let me clean up some really, really old stuff, because that Gmail account is 20 years old.
If he wanted a new one, that's fine. But what I had thought was he didn't want those coming into his main email address. And so he put it, in that separate one. Right. So anyway.
And you still have to write a rule. You still have to write a rule in Gmail that moves it to another folder.
That's not hard. The plus.
Adam, this is Big Fatty.
Has never been a problem for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe there are some sites that won't allow it, but I've never had a problem. I've used the plus everywhere.
I've had sites that wouldn't allow it.
So anyway, there's that. So take it for what you will. You can do that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was fun.
That was fun.
You know, here's another fun thing. Did you the penis? The period is completely superfluous in an email address. So when you say, and I know I've said this before, when you say adamburns.uk, you can also just send an email to adamburns.uk. Like, you don't have to use the dot. Or if you wanted to, Big Fatty's email address, I think, is thebigfatty@gmail.com. You could just send it to thebigfatty@gmail.com. It would still make it there, because the periods are just thrown away. So,
yeah, I know. Mark has told me that a million times as well, but my email address is adamburns.uk.
No, I get it. It's just what it is. And I'm happy that that's easy for people to understand and to remember. By the way, I know that you like Survivor.
I do.
And I like Survivor. Have you ever watched Australian Survivor?
No, I have not.
So,
although we do, as you know, we do torrent Australian MasterChef now.
Okay. You don't even need to torrent this. It's on Paramount Plus. You can check out Australian Survivor. It starts with like season 4. So there's only like 4 seasons there, but like season 4, 5, 6. I want you to, I'm curious to know if I'm the only person, because the host that they use is Jonathan LaPaglia. At a glance, without your glasses on, he looks like Probst, and he mimics Probst and the way that he sounds and everything. It's just like, wait, are you all really Australian? Because I swear at times you're imitating Jeff Probst. But it actually is a very good show, Survivor Australia. It's very good. I'm enjoying it. But the thing that I learned watching that, and let me see if I can find this on Google here.
Do they have more episodes of Australian Survivor than they do of US Survivor per season? Or do you even know that?
I'm only watching season 4, and they start with 24 contestants, and there are 24 episodes.
Okay. Because MasterChef. So, normally we have like, I don't know, between 13 and 20 episodes. Mm-hmm. in the US. Mm-hmm. MasterChef Australia, 61 episodes per season.
Yeah, and it's weird because when I haven't even made it through this season, Adam. But at the end of one of the Adams is like, at the end of one of the episodes, not one of the Adams. At the end of one of the episodes there, he's saying something like, tomorrow night on Survivor. So I think they like air 2 days in a row on TV.
Yeah, I think MasterChef, they do like 5 days a week or something while it's out. Because it is crazy. They have so many episodes.
Anyway, watch that. But here's the thing that I learned, Adam. There's like a little, what do you call those in-house ads? Like, it would be like, if we were to take a moment here and say, hey, you know what, Adam, we have a behind the scenes group. It's called Level 13. And that's a social group that you can join exclusively for this program. And you'll get access to the pre-shows for every episode and the post-shows for every episode. And occasionally just all brand new, just random show content that you get by being a member of Level 13, as well as access to our Discord and to your own private RSS feed, all of that fun stuff. And Adam, it's absolutely free. All you have to do is send us an email, contact@mixminuspodcast.com, and say you want to join. What do we call that? What would you call that? It's not an advertisement because
it's... Is there a name for it? A promotion?
I've heard them called, I've heard them called promos. I've heard them called house ads, like in-house ads. I've heard them called interstitials. But what I know is that there's not a client, right? There's not a company that's paying to insert that in. It's a plug.
Like when they say, to find more information on the show and to get recipes for MasterChef, go to 10play.com.au. Right.
Oh, here, that is it. Adam, you're making my point. Whatever. You're making my point for me. I heard, in the middle of the Survivor, it's like, do you want to watch more of what's happening on this show? Make sure to check out 10play.com.au/survivors41 or whatever. And I'm like, oh my fucking, there are people, there are Americans that can't even remember .net on something. Like if you were to say like, oh yeah, our email address is, you know, pornhub.net, and they would go to pornhub.com. This is the basis for a lot of spam on the internet, is that people will just type in .com. Now I know that Scotty, the little Aussie battler, is fucking with us, Adam, because if he comes from a country where they can just literally scream out letters and number, random letters and number. Well, you want to move more, make sure you check out 10t97234.com.au/20774. It's like, if they can remember that shit, they're so much ahead of the US, Adam. There's so much.
I never understood why they needed a com and an AU. Why couldn't they just do AU? Like, that doesn't make, because, and also UK. Does co.uk like that? Why not just .uk? Like, what happened? They couldn't get it. They couldn't get that. You know. Anyway, Auntie Scott in the chat room says they're called fucky mongers. I don't think that's right, but he would know because he is in the industry.
That could be the technical term to it.
I mean,
Technical term to it.
I'm not going to talk about that next thing because I just don't really have anything to say about it. But I do want to say one other thing.
Yes. You have nothing to say about that. Got it.
Well, I'll talk more about it on my show. I just really don't have anything of note to say. No. I mean, there's nothing funny or like discussion worthy.
Mm-hmm. I'll talk about
it. But there is and now I can't remember the name of it. Oh my God. So I keep getting these ads on Instagram.
Yes.
Okay. And it's for this thing that I don't need. I'm telling you, I do not need it.
Okay. What is it?
But I wanted to get your thoughts.
Okay.
And now I can't remember the name of it, so this is totally gonna suck.
What kind of device is this?
So it is a tablet.
A tablet.
It is an e-reader style tablet that is for note taking. It's very thin and
it's Rocketbook?
The battery lasts for like 2 weeks. And it's just for note taking.
Okay.
And I mean, it's not cheap and I don't take notes, but it looks so cool to me. Mm-hmm. And there are all these reviews that say it's amazing and it's on CNET and it's like the world's thinnest tablet. It's remarkable too.
No, I've never heard of this. Now I know this makes me really old, Adam. I use Rocketbooks. Are you familiar with Rocketbooks?
Don't you? I think so. Don't you take a picture of it and it uses kind of grid technology to?
Yeah, so it does OCR and everything. But this is completely erasable. So it's like I scribble things down at work when I need to, mm-hmm. when I'm taking notes, and then I'll take a picture and sort them into OneNote or whatever. But I've got all my notes. It's just so much easier while you're on a phone call to just write for me because I'm old. And also I have a mechanical keyboard. So if I'm typing while in a meeting, it's very obvious because it's tick, 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 tick.
I don't know. I don't know why it's so interesting to me because I really don't take a lot of notes, mm-hmm. but it just looks so cool. And I thought, well, maybe I should be taking notes, you know? Yeah. I mean, maybe.
You are, and
I don't want to carry...
You are getting older and you are forgetting.
I don't want to carry my iPad Pro around because I don't like writing on those glass screens, but this one has the feel of paper. At least they say it does.
So you say it has the feel of paper. Because I was looking into this because I bought my iPad Pro mainly for drawing, and it is different to draw on glass than it is to draw on paper. And there are, they're covers. There's like one of the screen protector like covers, you know, those clear screen protector like covers for the iPad Pro that have a microscopic like raised matte finish so that feels like paper. So it's like it doesn't change the look of your iPad, but then when you write, it feels like paper. And I haven't gotten those yet. They're only like $30 for a pack or something. This is like I was thinking about getting those.
Because also, it's a hack. Yeah, I've heard of that. I have a screen. Mark put a screen protector on my iPad Pro for me. And I really hate doing that because they get bubbles in it when I do it and then it pisses me off. But he does a really good job. But he put a screen protector. But my iPad Pro is pretty much a unitasker. I use it as my music reader. So when I'm playing, all of my music is on there. And it's exactly because it's the big one. So it's exactly or very close to the size of a sheet of music. And so I use it for that. And I have all my music there. I don't have to do, you know, anything else. And I love it for that. And that's fine. Like, but I wouldn't want to take notes on it because it's heavy. It's got the glass screen. But I understand what you're saying about the screen protector. And again, I don't take a lot of notes, but it looks so cool. Oh, also,
not a sponsor.
You can read ebooks on it, and but it doesn't do the Kindle ones. But then I found a hack where you can actually download Kindle books and remove the DRM.
Actually, removing the DRM from Kindle books is one of the ways that you're allowed to violate copyright to make your own accessible version of a book. Anyway, let's do this.
3, 2, 1! Contact is the secret, is the moment when everything happens. Contact is the answer, is the reason that everything happens. Contact.
Excellent. It is the contact segment of the show. This is the segment of the show, Adam, where we read our emails and play our voicemails. Adam, do we have an email this week?
I mean, if you ask me, I'm going to assume no, but I really don't know. We did have a lot of unread stuff, but I don't know if it's emails, so I can't really tell you.
So no concept of whether we have email or not.
Normally when you ask me, it's a no.
Actually, we do have email, Adam. We have an email that came in from our good listener, Richard, who wrote us a while back and was unable to get the show on his iPod Touch. Remember that? The iPod Touch. And we were surmising that maybe he had the dubious intent feed or something like that.
Yeah.
So he wrote just as a follow-up here, he was unable to use... Well, I'll read it in the first person as he wrote it. I was unable to use my iPod Touch and the Apple Podcast app to subscribe to Mix Minus. Excuse me. So I tried downloading Stitcher as an alternate pod catcher. My iPod Touch was too old. And yes, I still use it for most podcasts and a few other apps. Anyhow, I have an old Motorola Android phone that I don't use as a phone anymore. And I was able to download Stitcher and use that as my pod catcher for Mix Minus. So I heard your episode 59, How Drunk Do You Have to Be Today? So glad to have you and Adam back in my ears where you belong. Keep up the great entertaining work, please, Richard. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you. Yes, mm-hmm. I that you are very devoted mm-hmm. to like switch, you know, equipment and do all of this stuff. But it's weird to me that our feed in particular is not playing on his iPod. I assume there are other feeds that are playing on his iPod Touch. So I don't know why.
I think maybe,
why that would happen.
Maybe, well, I don't know. Because we use Anchor as our host. And so the feed comes directly from Anchor. So it's not even us.
True.
Yeah. It's weird.
Anyway, I don't know.
Maybe they do.
I don't have an iPod Touch anymore. I can't test it.
Maybe there's some fuckery going on.
Could be. Maybe they're like, screw iPod Touches.
Over at Anchor. They're just trying to, our content is so corrosive, Adam.
Oh, you know what?
What?
Spotify and Anchor are the same company.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that that would work, but not an Apple application. I don't know.
Hey, we got an email. We got a voicemail.
Okay.
Let's listen to it, shall we?
Hey, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel.
Yes.
You probably know that Mexican food is like so in right now.
Okay.
It's like more in than Indian food, which is so 2017. I found this amazing Mexican restaurant in Australia.
Is he at a strip club?
Right. It's a long way from Mexico to here.
I don't know.
Anyway,
I think he's at a Mexican restaurant.
Double crunch wrap, and it is so good.
Double crunch.
Oh, Taco Bell.
Taco Bell. That's it's not actually a Mexican restaurant.
It was established in 1962.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was called Taco Bell.
You know, is that the end of the message?
That's the end of it, madam.
I'm okay with Taco Bell, you know, but I don't like their chips. And it's a problem because when I have Mexican food, I need chips. And so so that's the only thing. Also, I loved their Mexican pizza and they discontinued it.
I know. They also
really pissed me off.
Discontinued their Fiesta salad, which I also loved. You know what, Adam? If you want to know more about Taco Bell in Australia, make sure you go to tinplay.com.au/Taco Bell. Run for the border. 3, 2, 1.
Just... Also, do they not have any quiet locations in Australia?
It was like a discotheque, Adam. Like
it's a discotheque, or it's birds, or it's masturbation noises, or it's like industrial noises. There's no quiet. Just there must be no quiet in Australia.
It's a very big country, right?
Yeah.
But aren't they all like in one place? Like, isn't Australia huge, but they all live like in one little square mile area?
I'm not really sure.
Isn't
probably.
Like most of Australia just open, outback? It's the outback.
I mean, I can't really say. I feel like the outback is relatively large, but I can't verify exactly what you just said.
So
I want to go. Yeah. I've never been there. I want to go, though.
Have you told RT Cruiser this?
Well, it's common. I mean, I've said it. Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe he and Scotty can meet you there.
No, maybe so.
They'll be your tour guides.
One day, Mark and I will go there. Wait.
What?
I have to have a card. You have to tell me. How can I, in 3, 2, 1, and I've got to have it pulled out? Okay.
Hey, let's throw 60 seconds up on the big board.
The game begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right. What European country uses its Latin name Helvetica on its stamps?
Greece.
Switzerland.
Damn it.
What rock group is immortalized on Butthead's t-shirt?
Metallica.
AC/DC.
Oh!
Who was the first president of the National Organization for Women in 1966?
Big Fatty.
Betty Friedman. What drug did the University of Pennsylvania Animal Behavior Clinic prescribe for depressed dogs?
CBD oil.
Prozac. What final word in prayer means so be it in Hebrew?
Amen.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. How many minutes can a Big Mac sit under the heat lamps before it will be thrown out?
Oh, these are old. 30 minutes.
10 minutes.
Ooh. And now, those are only corporate stores. I don't think franchise stores have to play by the same rule there.
I don't know. We had timings when I worked at Wendy's, and I worked at a franchise location for, and the potatoes could only be for like an hour in the little heat trays, and then you had to throw them out.
I see abbreviated.
You got 1 out of 6.
Yeah, you got 1 out of 6. But I'm sorry, we didn't do a news quiz this week because it's Thursday, and those news quizzes come out on Friday. So that's what you got. I just realized now I never explained to people why we put 60 seconds on the big board. It was like, yeah.
You confused me.
Confused everyone. Like,
what are we doing?
I have no idea. It's like we're running the little fatty cast over here or something. It's like we have no idea what we're doing. Anyway. Adam, every single week, our executive producer Cyclone sends us an exhaustive list of heavily researched items, things, Adam, just stuff and things.
Research
and things. These are all things that happen on November 11th of some year because, hey, today's November 11th, and that's the day that we're recording. Adam, happy Veterans Day to the November 11th is Veterans Day, so... Happy Veterans Day to you.
Happy Veterans Day. I'm not a veteran, but happy
I'm to all you veterans veteran out there. I'm not a veteran either, and I'm of that age where I kind of feel weird about...
Do you feel like you should be a veteran? Veteran? I don't know why I can't say that word.
All right, I'm of that age that when I took the ASFAB in high school and thought about going into the armed service, I interviewed with a couple of the branches. And the Air Force, I remember distinctly the Air Force dude asking me the last time that I used drugs. And I was like, no, none. And he's like, well, when was the last time that you had sex with a guy? And keep in mind, I'm like 16. And I'm like, never.
Yesterday.
Never. And he was just like, well, that's good. Because, you know, the Air Force, we don't want druggies and we don't want fags. And it was one of those, like, oh, you know, and you're not quite out. But you kind of know that you're gay, you know what I'm saying? And it just made me feel really... Anyway, my point is that we very much lived in a time during the time that I was growing up and could have been in the military, that if I had come out as being gay, I would have gotten dishonorably discharged. I would have gotten kicked out of the service with no pension, no anything. I just feel weird... thanking veterans. You know what I'm saying? I get it that it's my own thing. I get it that it's in my head.
Well, yeah, they didn't create those rules necessarily.
I get that.
I guess some of them did, some of the higher ups, but.
Right. I get that. But I just feel weird about thanking him because I've always been so bitter about that. Do you remember after 9/11, when it was considered the height of patriotism for you to donate blood and join the military? Do you remember that? That was the, you know,
yeah.
There was a period of time there. And I'm like going, great. Two things that I am legally prohibited from doing. So in order to be a patriot of this country, I am, you know, legally prohibited from doing these two things that would make me a patriot. And it's like, anyway, I have nothing against veterans, Adam.
No, I get what you're saying, and I agree with you.
It just makes me feel weird when I see we should thank all of our military people for their great sacrifice. And I'm like, yeah, the one that we weren't. It just smacks of privilege. It was just like, oh, yeah.
Two things we couldn't do back then and one thing we can't do now. But luckily, neither one of those things I have ever had any desire to do. So I'm like, you know what? Can't do it. I'm gay. You know, I can't give blood. I don't like needles, you know, but I'm gay. So, I mean, I would, if I were straight, you know, I'd be the first one in line. Not really, but I mean, I can use it as an excuse.
On this day in 1985, NBC aired An Early Frost starring Aidan Quinn. It's the first major made-for-TV movie about AIDS and is broadcast in the U.S. on prime time. I remember there was just people's noses were bent out of shape about that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
On this day in 1946, the day before the premiere of Disney's Song of the South, a parade is held in Atlanta with Walt himself, the governor of Georgia, and William D. Hartsfield, the mayor of Atlanta. There are bands, floats, and some of the characters from the film. So there you go.
Is Song of the South the one that's considered to be racist?
The Song of the South is the one that is very racist.
And yes. There was some ride based on it, and they reskinned it or something.
There is a ride based off of it, and it has not yet been reskinned. It's called Splash Mountain, and it is still at the Magic Kingdom today.
Maybe I'm thinking of, was there a Brer Rabbit ride of some sort?
That's Splash Mountain.
Oh, okay. So it is getting reskinned.
It is. It's on their list of things to do. Hey, in 1993, on November 11th, Disney announced plans to build an amusement park called Disney's America with a history theme somewhere west of Washington, D.C. This was something that never came to fruition. But yeah, they were going to build a theme park, you know, called a history theme park. Cool, huh?
Yeah, they and I don't even understand the some of the other countries where it's not really Disney but it is Disney, like Japan or Paris or something. Like, I don't really understand those. Do they like license their name and then someone else, like, I don't really know what they're doing. Like, I don't really understand franchises either, but anyway. Yeah,
what are you talking about? You're talking about like Tokyo Disneyland?
Yeah, one of them that's not really Disney or owned by Disney, but it is Disney. Like,
so
I don't...
there are laws in place in both China and Japan that a foreign company cannot own land. Like a foreign guy, Walmart, Disney, Amazon, whoever, they're an American company, Apple, they can't buy land. They can't own land in China. And so, of course, that's a problem if you're going to build
it. That's weird because China owns so much of our land.
All right, because we don't have that same restriction. So what happened is that Disney, in order to open a park over there, had to partner with a Chinese company so that they could actually build the theme park. So all of the China Disneyland, so that's Disney, Shanghai, Hong Kong, and the other one, that they just announced. Anyway, those are owned, I believe, by the Oriental Land Company. So, and they license the characters and trademarks and everything from Disney. And Disney is co-owner. It's just that Disney doesn't own the land. They can't own the land.
So, okay.
And then the same with Tokyo Disneyland and Disney Sea. Those are also owned by another company. So. Oh, look, Cyclone has popped into the chat.
I see it. Hi, Cyclone. Welcome.
November 11th in 1918, it was Armistice Day, Adam. On the 11th hour, the 11th day, the 11th month of 1918, the Great War ended. Do you know what war I'm talking about?
World War One.
That is correct, Adam. It's very good of you to read that. The Great War ended at 5 a.m. Wait, but I thought it was at the 11th hour on the 11th day of the 11th month. That's not 5 a.m. Anyway, Armistice Day, Adam. I know you're a big Armistice Day fan. Did you put out your Armistice Day tree?
I don't know if you're aware of this, but there's an Armistice Day scone.
Mm-hmm. I did not.
It's very similar to a biscuit. But smear a little scone. Butter and jelly on that, and
I heard
everyone should partake.
I heard that a biscuit is nothing like a scone.
They're so similar. I'm an expert in biscuits, and I lived in the UK. I don't know if you know that. I've had both.
Adam, have you ever wondered how Jesus walked on water?
I mean, not really.
Have you ever?
It's a miracle.
Have you ever wondered what really happened to Adam and Eve? Or how Jesus fed the multitudes?
All miracles.
Adam, those and other mysteries, the five greatest Bible mysteries were solved.
Adam, oh.
Solved. I have to get to the actual article here.
I bet you know that guy, I can't remember his name, but he's Discovery Channel and he would like go to these countries and saw, what's his name? He's really popular right now. He's one of their main guys. I can't remember him. Josh Gates.
Don't know who that is.
He probably saw them.
Adam, these great Bible mysteries, which have baffled Christians for over 2,000 years, have finally been solved by Bible experts who concluded after a 5-year study that God's ways, though often mysterious, are sometimes crystal clear. Dr. James Rodel, Bernadette Kartz, Philip Galo, and a bunch of other people I don't want to read, examined the mysteries in light of the historical record and current scientific thinking and provided a solution for each one of them. So what would you like
those
to know?
Those are some exciting looking experts.
Mm-hmm. What would you like to know? Would you like to know how Jesus walked on water?
Yeah, sure. That's a good one.
There are at least two men living in the world today who can and do walk on water. They are Christian mystics who trained for years to open themselves to the power of God and allow him to work miracles through them. It is believed that Christ, being the Son of God, was born with this ability and used it in this awesome... There you go, Adam. That's how he walked on water. He was God. Mystery
solved. I wonder how much
time
they spent researching that.
Mystery solved.
Huh.
I'm sorry. Is there anything else in this that you want to...
Well, a man donated his penis for a surgical transplant. And doctors are attaching the new sex organ to 23-year-old burn victim.
Uh-huh. Did he burnt his penis?
And the guy says, when asked why he donated his penis, because this guy is still alive.
Oh, well, he was.
The guy was asked, why did you donate your penis? And he said, well, to be honest with you, I haven't used it in years anyway. There you go.
There you go. It's a little joke there, Adam. A little joke from the Weekly World News. You know what, Adam? Back in history, in time, on November 11th, there were number one movies at the box office. I'm going to play you a theme song from one of those number one movies.
Wouldn't have known because you wouldn't have gone to the theater, but
I need you. I had no choice back then, but I need you to tell me, what is this a theme song to?
Okay.
Everybody get up. It's time to slam now. We got a real jam going down. Welcome to
Space Jam.
Here's your chance. Do your dance at the Space Jam.
You know what? Fuck them. Fuck them. I didn't know that it was in the title.
I said it before that.
But I didn't even know it was in it. Yeah, you said it after they like had their third word that rhymed with jam.
They said jam, but they didn't say Space Jam. I said, and I was already thinking Space Jam, but they beat me to it.
They just beat you to it. There are also a lot of people that had birthdays on this day, and we would like to say a very happy birthday to each of them. And by them... I mean Adam Rippon, the U.S. Olympic figure skater and commentator, who is, he's very pretty. Leonardo DiCaprio turned 47. Stanley Tucci turned 61. And let me find one other person that I know. Oh, Mark Summers turned 70.
Double dare.
Double dare. Yeah.
On your mark, get set. Mm-hmm. Go! That's what I know him for.
Carson Kressley turned 50.
Also, that other show where he talks about how things... It's not called How It's Made, but it's like food.
Yes.
Like he shows like how Twinkies are made, right, or, you know, whatever. I can't remember the name of it, though.
I would also like to say a very happy birthday to David DeLuise, who turned 50. Carson Kressley, 52. Calista Flockhart, 57. Demi Moore, 59. And Peaches, I'm assuming of Peaches in Herb, turns 55. So,
well, happy birthday. You know, Stanley Tucci is an attractive older gentleman.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not going to. Jonathan Winters was born on November 11th.
You're not going to confirm or deny that?
That Stanley Tucci is attractive? Yeah. No, he's very attractive.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have a high bar, but he's very attractive. Anyway, happy birthday to all of you from all of us.
Yeah, happy birthday.
I don't have a good way to fade that out. I have to work on that. Maybe I can get some kind of, you know, big ending. Big, huge
big
ending.
Big finish.
There's a thing that big we do finish here at this, Adam. We do, like nobody's business, we pay attention to the...
Chat room?
We pay attention to the production. I don't know why I couldn't come up with that word. To the production. We make sure that we have theme songs for each segment. We have a cohesive intro and outro of each segment. You know, the whole show just kind of flows along. We do it live, and it's great and it's fun.
So I have a question for you.
Yes.
Do you have the fully produced Celebrity Death Phone theme song?
I don't, because I was going to solicit people to make a Celebrity Death Phone theme. But but we can talk about that for a moment here, Adam, is that, the Celebrity Death Phone is coming back, ladies and gentlemen. The Celebrity Death Phone will be returning to Mix Minus, should we just say January? So that way we have, you know, the rest of December to get it all wrapped up and to get all the new rules in place.
We can say January. I've got a phone number.
We have a new phone number for it. So we got that in place. I think there's going to be a few new rules this year. Like, we're not going to take just the first person that gets it right. Like, we will go ahead and take everyone that gets it right. But
I really want to share the number, though. I'm happy about this.
Can I finish what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, but
we'll only increase the pot by $1 per celebrity. So if you know, someone calls in, so the pot will still get increased. But if you call in and you have the right answer, you will be entered into the drawing. And that's, I think maybe that'll make it a little bit better.
Okay. I'm good with that. That's fine.
Yeah. Tell us what the new phone number is.
The number, Daniel.
Yes.
I don't know if you're ready for this.
Is it tinplay.com.au/?
The number, get out your pens and papers or your Remarkable 2 tablet, if you have one of those. It's 707-61-DEATH.
Ah, look at you, Adam.
707-61-DEATH.
707, like 61 people died on a 707.
Yeah, 707-61-DEATH.
Death. There you go. So give that phone. Does it already work?
I mean, it does, but it's my old Google Voice number. So it says, "Hey, this is Adam. Leave a message." It doesn't have like a.
You haven't done the. You haven't done the production yet.
I haven't done the new message, but
all right.
Yeah,
Celebrity Death Phone is coming back. Just wanted everyone to know that. But, you know, we take pride in doing our segments here on the show, Adam. I had a point that I was trying to make, and I don't remember what it was. But I don't know what it was. There's this last thing I want to talk to you about here. I know you don't follow Disney because you don't like Disney, but the Disney just announced recently that there will be cast members of all races portraying Santa Claus this year. And the internet has fucking lost its mind.
Okay.
So I need to ask you, Adam.
As the internet does, let's just point this out. The internet loses its mind over everything.
Over everything. The internet has lost its ever-loving fucking mind because they are, Santa is always white. Well, that's cultural appropriation because Santa Claus is white. He can't be another race. That's cultural appropriation. That's wrong. So my question is, can you describe Jesus to me?
Well, see, this is a trick question, Daniel, because and I know also what you put in Trello. So so Jesus, and I do believe Jesus existed. So I'm going to proceed as if he did.
You're going to proceed as if he did, which meant that he is from, was born in a manger in Jerusalem.
But he is from the Middle East.
Yes.
Or somewhere about there. Mm-hmm. So he was, and I believe he would have been a brownish color and look more like a Middle Eastern person.
Yes.
However, all of the paintings that you see of Jesus,
yes,
that are all European or American, those are the ones you always see.
Mm-hmm.
He is a white guy with long hair.
Blonde
fatty,
hair.
Fatty would like him.
Blonde hair
and blue eyes. Brown hair.
Usually, it's brown hair.
The ones I've seen is brown hair, but it's long brown hair. I don't know about his eye color, but he's white. And those are all the paintings that you see. Like The Last Supper, for instance. The Sermon on the Mount. Whatever those other paintings are.
I don't know.
Anyway, there are many, many other paintings, and he's white in like all of them. So, but historically speaking, he would have been Middle Eastern.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now,
not white.
Do you have a problem with Santa Claus being black? Do you have a problem with Santa Claus being black?
No. Santa Claus first of all, Santa Claus is not real.
Well, now the people that have lost their shit on the internet have tried to latch onto the fact of it was a real man. His name was Saint Nicholas. And Saint Nicholas was a Greek, clergy guy or a priest or whatever.
Well, no, I don't care. I mean, it doesn't bother me. He can be any color. I mean, it's fine. It's Santa Claus. Whatever color people want him to be, it doesn't matter to me.
Can you imagine having a problem with that? Can you imagine that's the hill that you want to die on, is that a fictional character is not the right race? This happens a lot with Disney, and I'm kind of, on one hand, I'm happy because all of these people that complain usually end up with the whole thing, well, that's it, I'm done with Disney then. God, fuck them, I'm done, I'm out of here, they're too woke for me. And I'm like, good, go away, good. I'm happy that you're leaving. I don't know if you read any of the news a while back when they cast Ariel for the new live action Little Mermaid that they're going to make.
Oh, and she's black, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And people are like, well, Ariel is white. And it's like, Ariel's a fucking mermaid. I don't think that Ariel, has any particular race associated with it.
You know what kind of bothers me a little bit? And I know people are going to disagree. I know that people are going to disagree with me, Dan. I don't even know why I say it. Why do I even set myself up for these things?
I don't know, Adam, but go ahead. Tell us what you're thinking.
I'm going to say it.
Say it.
There are people, and it has nothing to do with race.
Nothing.
But it has to do with being gay.
Okay.
There are a lot of people out there that, and I feel like I know what your answer is going to be. Anyway, that feel like that gay characters in movies and TV shows should be played by gay people.
Should be played by gay actors.
Gay actors.
Yes.
I don't agree with that because it's acting. If it were, you are acting. You are being something that you're not. That is the definition of acting, is portraying a character that you are not. I think it should be able to be anyone.
Anyone.
Straight, gay, bi, non-binary, whatever. I don't think it should matter what your sexuality is, and you could play any other sexuality. I'm totally fine with that.
I feel that this gets into a conversation that we had in an after show that you can hear on Level 13.
I feel like you're going to say, the minority. Well, is that what you're going to say?
Let me finish. I feel like it really matters about context. If, let's say, Modern Family has a gay couple in it, played by Eric Stone Street and what's his name? The actual,
the other guy.
Yeah, the actual gay actor.
the redhead. Redhead guy.
Somebody will tell me. So it's played, and Eric Stone Street is not gay.
Oh my God, Eric, you would think Eric Stone Street was gay. Okay. I mean, you're...
But he does it from a way of, it's not done in a mean way. It is done very solidly as an ally to the gay community, right? Something that he is true to the character and whatever. I don't really have a problem with that. Just acting. Great. There's plenty of gay actors out there that have played straight, and great. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. Where I have a problem, or where I would have a problem with it, is if they were playing some kind of, very stereotypical effeminate man just for laughs that's always like doing the whoops, oh, I'm so sorry, I dropped my lip, oh hello, sure. So, if it was some very stereotypical derogatory portrayal of a homosexual, I would be a bit put out if it was a straight actor doing it, because I would be like, whoa, fuck you.
I get that. I'm just saying in general, that makes sense to me. I'm just saying in general.
But there is a line to be drawn here, and there are arguments to be made here, because I know that there was a cartoon that's coming up whereby the main character of the cartoon is not a Caucasian male, and yet Chris Pratt was going to voice him. Do I have any idea of what this cartoon, let me Google this here so that I don't add to the methane production in the universe here. It's Mario.
We wouldn't want to do that.
It was Mario. So yeah. Chris Pratt is going to voice the character of Mario. Thank you, TV. Who is an Italian, you know, video game character.
Oh, Mario, like Mario and Luigi?
Yes. And so okay. Chris Pratt is going to do the, oh, it's me, I'm Mario. He's just okay. a very stereotypical Italian, you know, type voice. And the buzz has been like, wait a second, that's really kind of racist. That's kind of, it's like Mario's Italian and he's very stereotypical Italian. He's a product of his time. Let's all just be okay. He was a product of his time. But it's one of those things, like, if we were really going to continue with that stereotype, wouldn't we feel better if we had an actual Italian actor doing it? Like someone who was, you know, making, like, do you really want to hear a white guy do a black voice? Like, that kind of makes me cringe when I hear a white guy pretend, you know, to do a black voice, because I work with black people all the time. They all sound completely different. There is no person that sounds like a black. When we say he sounds like a black person, we're talking about a very stereotypical dialect of like the New York hood, right? It's like, yo, dog, what, you know, whatever the mm-hmm. that rap culture kind of thing. And that's not how all black people talk. And
it's kind of like when Joe Batanz tries to be a white Southern boy. Every time that I go on his podcast,
the problem there is
he's appropriating white Southerness.
Yes, but white Southern boys are not a minority. So that's called punching up, and that is allowed.
I don't want to get into the race thing. I'm not even going to talk about the race thing. Just in general, mm-hmm. I'm just going to say I agree with you. But in general, I feel as if one day, acting is not going to be acting anymore. They're just going to have to choose someone that is actually that thing, whatever they're doing. You know, an Italian with a mustache that wears overalls. They're going to have to go out and find an Italian with a mustache that wears overalls, because it will get to the point. I feel like it will get to the point where
this is no one can act
anymore. You have to be the thing, but I agree with you, Daniel.
But that annoys me because that's not what this is, right? It's not. If they wanted to make Mario a Caucasian, all they had to do was make a live action Mario. And it's like, oh yeah, well, Mario's not Italian. We never said he was Italian. He's just a white guy. He's a white guy with a speech impediment, whatever. It's like, but they have made a point over the years of saying, this is an Italian. This character is an Italian. And he has a very stereotypical Italian voice. So if you're going to keep those things, so the other way they could get out of this is just have Chris Pratt talk like a normal person. And by the way, we've not seen any footage of this. And True. He may very well speak in his normal speaking voice.
Do a Mario anything. They've had Mario movies before and they sucked. But no, I agree. No, I agree with you. I'm just saying, in general,
or the thing that gets people angry about it is he's doing a very stereotypical thing. He's playing Asian, but he's talking very stereotypically like an old cartoon Asian would, you know, right. Miso Sali or something like that. Some very over the top.
Yeah, no, those are offensive. I'm just saying...
It would be like showing up at Joe Batanz's house and pretending to be the gardener. It's very, I don't know why I did that joke, because Joe doesn't listen to this show, but if he did, he would laugh at that joke.
I think he would. I think he would laugh.
Anyway, Adam, there you go. I found that amusing today, that people were very upset about Black Jesus. Excuse me, Black Santa.
Black Santa Claus.
Black Santa Claus at Disney. Yeah. And their arguments, it's well worth going on Twitter and reading some of these arguments, because they put themselves in such contortion. Like they're trying to come up with, you know, a reasonable non-racist reason to be against it. And the best they can come up with is, well, it has to do with character integrity, because what if they went to the kingdom in the morning and saw an Asian Santa and then went to Epcot in the afternoon and saw a Black Santa? Then the child would be asking, wait, why? I thought Santa was Asian. That ruins my belief in Santa.
Well, Santa's magic. So isn't he the race of whatever country he's like whatever area he's going to?
When you get right down to it, Santa is a real person in the sense that parents all over the world, every Christmas Eve, play the part of Santa. They eat, you know, there really are presents that go under the tree that say from Santa. There's like, we have manifested this mythical creature in the sense that all of us playing him are that creature. And of course there are black people that play Santa. Do you not think that black people get gifts from Santa? Do you not think that Asian people get gifts from Santa? Do you not think that the Latinos do?
My mom told me, I was never a believer in Santa, or very early I didn't believe in Santa. I don't know what age I was, but I asked her, and mom told me that Santa represents the love in all of our hearts.
Aww. That's very...
And the giving spirit.
Very nice of her.
Yeah.
Hey, if you want to send us an email, you can do so. It's contact@mixminuspodcast.com. You can also leave us a voicemail. Just point your browsing device to voicemail.mixminuspodcast.com and click on the little record button to leave us a voicemail. Or if you're really old and you have a phone and you want to call us, you can still do that. 707-61-DEATH. 707-61-DEATH. Notice I have to repeat a phone number, but I don't have to repeat like the URL or the contact. Adam, you know, this show is probably not going to actually go out on our feed until Thanksgiving, but it's been fun. We're going to be back live in December. December 10th will be the next live episode of Mix Minus over in Pride 48. So make sure you come over and check that out.
Happy Thanksgiving. And I just want to say, if there is a Santa Claus, bring me a Remarkable 2, please.
This show is a proud member of the Pride 48 Podcasting Network. Check out more great shows at pride48.com.